This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahi wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. I hope and pray everyone is doing well. I hope and pray that inshallah everyone is safe and sound. I hope and pray inshallah everyone else is also looking good. It's okay to say mashallah. We were having a conversation just a couple of days ago at Qalam amongst the team, and there are many Islamic centers, many masajid, many communities that have made an effort now that we've been able to figure out maybe how to do things in the midst of a pandemic, that they are exploring different creative ways to do things. And there's a lot of places that are having outdoor, spread out, spaced out Eid prayers. I myself, earlier this morning, I led Eid prayer for one of our local communities here, done outside, everyone spaced out. And while that is the case, and so many folks we understand might be attending these Eid prayers, at the same time, we realize that not everyone has access to that. That might not be happening in your community. Or even furthermore, due to some personal circumstances or health concerns or some limitation or restrictions, not everyone, everyone might not have access to these Eid congregations and prayers that are being conducted in different communities. And because of that, we felt that it was important that we still have a reminder and something for everyone who ends up praying Eid at home or with their families, that there should be something that we provide for them. So alhamdulillah, in the spirit of that and in the spirit of Eid, I'm here with y'all today. I have a very simple, but at the same time, very important thought that I wanted to share with you on this beautiful, blessed morning of Eid al-Adha. I'm reminded of the verse of the Quran from Surah al-Duha, which came down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the early days of his prophethood. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first started receiving revelation, and it was taking a toll on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam physically, because it's very heavy to receive revelation and the word of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a little bit of a break, some opportunity to recuperate and recover. And revelation did not come for a few days. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grew very anxious during those few days in anticipation of revelation. And he grew very eager to receive revelation. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, started to get a bit uncomfortable and a bit nervous, why is revelation not coming? When the narrations even mentions that, in those early days, he had tried to share the message with his family. And Abu Lahab's wife says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it looks like whatever, you know, demon or sorcery possessed you or visits you, it has abandoned you. Inna shaytana qad tarakak. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, he paid no heed to that comment. But as I said, just going for so many days, almost a week, without revelation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grew very anxious, very nervous. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the surah Wadduha to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is in its entirety, it is so powerful. Wadduha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the break of day. You know, the midday. I look outside right now at 10 a.m. and I see, you know, it's so bright and brilliant outside. This is that time of day. وَالْضُحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. And then Allah swore by the stillness of night, that there was that still part of the night where it was quiet and it was a bit dark. And but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the sun did rise. The day did come. The light did shine. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Your Lord has not abandoned you. Your Lord has not forsaken you. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّ. Allah has not forgotten about you. وَمَا قَلَى. And Allah is not upset with you. Allah is not angry, He's not upset. And I thought about this because the situation that we're in, the circumstances that we are facing, are they're difficult. And many people have been tried and tested emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, and even physically. And it's been a tough ride, this entire experience. And it seems to be getting more and more challenging as each day goes on. But we have to remember, and we must remind ourselves, that Allah has not forsaken us. Allah has not abandoned us. Allah is not angry with us. He's not mad at us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. And He is merciful and He is kind. As I stood out there today on the grass, with my prayer rug on the ground, and we prayed, and I turned around and I looked out, and there was about 100 people spread out over, you know, a couple of acres of land, and everyone with their prayer rugs on the ground and with their masks on. And it was such a powerful reminder that we're still here. We woke up this morning. We're making whatever food, special foods that we're making, and we're dressing up even though we're home, and we're calling family, and we're FaceTiming people, and we're congratulating one another. Allah has not forgotten us. Allah has not forsaken us. Allah has not left us. Allah is most kind and most merciful. And we are a testament to that. And this day is a testament to that. Do not lose your spirit. Don't ever lose hope. You know, on the occasion of Eid al-Adha, in the days of Dhul-Hijjah, we talk a lot about Ibrahim alayhi salam. What, you know, really, what's one of the things that is captures the essence of the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam was the unshakable faith, the kind of trust that he had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that trust the process. Look at the difficulties he was put in. وَإِذِبْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُمْ. Allah tested him in so many ways, and he came through every single time. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When his Lord said to him, submit, he said, I've submitted for the Lord of the worlds. That whether he's being thrown into a fire, he never stopped trusting in Allah. Whether he was being told to leave his family in an uninhabited place, he never lost his faith and his trust in Allah. When he was told to sacrifice his son, he never lost his faith and his trust in Allah. And look how it pays off. Not only is he able to raise the foundations of the Kaaba, he has two sons, both are great prophets of God. But the Prophet met him on the seventh level of the heavens, surrounded by angels and malaika, that never losing faith, never losing that trust and reliance in Allah, never giving up on the process. Even our own Prophet, right? These are the days of Hajj. And everyone's heartbroken about the situation with Hajj. I had the intention to go. I was scheduled to go. I was taking my wife with me. We had already discussed and made some arrangements, talked to, you know, family in regards to our children. And, you know, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَفَعَلْ, as Allah willed and decreed, and we're here. We weren't able to go for Hajj. But these days are the days of Hajj, so we always talk about Hajj as well. Look at the Hajj of the Prophet ﷺ, Hajjatul Wida. With over 120,000 Muslims, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. So powerful, the Hajj of the Prophet ﷺ, giving that khutbah to over 120,000 Muslims. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I stood up and I looked in front of me, behind me, to the right of me, to the left of me. And it was just a sea and an ocean of humanity. As far as the eye could see, there were people. And if you think about that, 10 years ago, 10 years prior to that, it's the middle of the night. The Prophet ﷺ's home is surrounded by these assassins. And by a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the protection of Allah, the Prophet ﷺ is able to slip through there, has to leave Makkah in the middle of the night, hide out in a cave with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu for 3 days. Think about it, 10 years ago, a decade ago, the situation was that bad. And then think about how a decade later, 10 years later, the Prophet ﷺ is there in Mecca with over 100,000 Muslims performing Hajj. Your Lord has not forsaken you. Your Lord has not forgotten about you. Your Lord is not angry with you. Allah is kind, Allah is merciful. And Allah loves you. And Allah will make a way. We just have to do our job. We got to stay the course. We got to stay committed. We will pray. And we will fast. And we will read Quran. And we will make dua. And we will be good to one another. And kind to one another. And never lose our faith and trust in Allah. And Allah will show us beautiful, beautiful days. So hang in there and have hope. And as far as today is concerned, whatever it may be, whatever it can be, whether it's as simple as something like, you know, getting out some ice cream, or it's something more elaborate like cooking something, or calling up family and friends, FaceTime, Zoom, and congratulating one another, talking to one another, checking on each other. But make today count, make it special. For those who have children, even if it's something like just kicking a soccer ball around in the backyard or giving them an extra treat or just laughing and sitting and playing with them, but make it special today. Show that spirit. Let's show our sincerity to Allah that we found a way to celebrate Eid even when it was difficult. I posted, shared this online as well, where Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, the great scholars of the Islamic tradition, in Fath al-Bari, his explanation of Sahih Bukhari, he says, idharu sururi fil a'yadi min sha'air ad-din. He says that expressing joy and happiness and pleasure and excitement and exuberance on the days of Eid is from the markers and the great traditions of our religion. So be happy today. Make it count today. Put a little sign up in your yard or on your front door. you know, call a family and friends, send some cookies over to somebody's house, whatever it may be. But make today count. And again, stay safe. Stay strong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all in good iman and good health. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our worship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a very happy and a very blessed day. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow all of us to see each other in person, to congregate, and to be together when all this is over. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. And Eid Mubarak, I hope you heard that. Those are our kittens. So the pandemic comes with a lot of interesting wrinkles. So my kids, mashallah, they're great kids. They've been strong. They've been tough through this whole process. So they said, you know, we want a cat. So we go to see a kitten. Turns out that kitten had a brother and a sister. So now we have three kittens. So that's what you hear. They're ready for Eid as well. They're telling me to wrap this up so that they can also have their party, inshallah. So with that, Eid Mubarak from my family to you and to yours. A very, very happy Eid and Eid Mubarak. Kullu am wa antum bi khair. And I just wanted to conclude with that note of saying Eid Mubarak to everyone. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Thank you very much for spending Eid morning together here with us. And I hope and pray, inshallah, you have a beautiful Eid, a meaningful Eid, a happy Eid. And inshallah, know for a fact that there are better days ahead. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khairan, everyone. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.